This is the section, the quarter on the destructive aspects of the human being. And so this is really important because according to Imam al-Ghazali, when we were talking earlier about the four areas of fasad that he mentioned, the first one he deals with in the Book of Knowledge, which is ignorance. But the second one is love of dunya. And love of dunya resides in the heart of the human being. And so he begins this by explaining the wonders of the heart. Because the heart is the most extraordinary thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, especially if you understand in our tradition that the intellect resides in the heart. So the heart really is, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they don't understand with them. So the heart is filled with ajaib. So he goes into this because the heart is what Iblis is after. The destruction of the heart is literally the goal of Iblis. So the muhlikat are going to focus on looking at what happens, these destructive qualities. And then riyadatun nafs, why we have to exercise our souls. The fact that he uses this word, and this was a word that the spiritual masters of Islam used, the fact that they use the same word for physical exercise, riyadah, is very interesting because there, you see people all over, especially where we live in California, there's people up at 5 in the morning jogging because they want to keep their bodies physically in good shape. And usually it's the more wealthier people that exercise more. If you look at CEOs and people like this, they're always very fit and they take care of themselves. And some of them even talk about this because the body is everything to a lot of these people. This is their world. They reside in their bodies, but they forget that they have souls. And so just like you have exercise for the body, you have exercise for the soul. Just as you can strengthen the muscles of your physical being, you can strengthen your spiritual muscles. Just as you can really beautify your outward through attention to taking care of it, you can beautify your inward through attention to taking care of it. So this is really, I think, a very important concept, the idea of exercising the soul. And then he has the book called Kasru Shahwatain, which is breaking the two desires, because he really saw at the root of the human problem was the appetites. That if you could not control your appetites, you had no discipline. There's a really brilliant, he was president of the University of Chicago. His name was Robert Maynard Hutchins. And I read a speech that he gave. He was honored at the end of his life. And he gave a very interesting speech. And in that speech, one of the things that he said that really struck me, he said, I've been listening to all these people praise me and say what a great man I am. But I have a question for myself, and I'll present it to you. If I'm such a great man, why have I never been able to give up smoking? And obviously people laughed. It's a funny remark. But I actually think he meant it in a much deeper way, that if I'm such a great man, why have I never been able to discipline myself? And that's something, that's a really important question. Why do incontinence, which now means physicians know this word to mean somebody who can't control their urine or their feces. So they literally urinate in their pants or they soil themselves. That's called incontinence. So like in the hospital, they'll write incontinent to stool and urine. Akrasia, which is where the word comes from, the Greek word incontinence, was traditionally used in ethical traditions to mean people that could not control their appetites. So just like somebody who can, just like you have to be able to control your bodily functions, you should be able to control your soul's functions. So there's an incontinence to the soul that is similar to soiling yourself. So just as you're incontinent to stool and urine, and soiling your physical body, if you're incontinent ethically and spiritually, you're soiling your soul with najasa. It's the same idea. And so he really saw if you could control your food, which is one of the reasons why we're fasting, is because food is such a big problem with human beings. If you can control your food, and then if you can control your genitals, if you control your tongue, all these things become easier with those basic controls. And this is why traditionally you have the human being is created in a triune nature. He's been created with reason, with will, and with appetite. So these are powers or faculties of the one soul. So there are different dimensions. So the reason is meant to control. Imam al-Ghazali calls this the rider on the elephant. You know, you need to control the rider or the jockey on the horse. And then you have these the appetites. You have the will of the beast, which is his irascibility. And this is called al-quwa al-ghadabiyya, the irascible nature. That nature is meant to ward off harm. And then you have the concupiscent nature, which is meant to accrue benefit. So it's jalb al-masarih wa dar al-mafasid. But it has to be regulated by the intellect. And so that's why kasra shahwatain is so important, because if you can control these, if you can break these two, you don't want to destroy them, but you want to break their will so that you control them. Just like you break a horse by training it. It's called siyasa, you know, yasusa al-hisan. Just like you control a horse, you have to train it. You know, the trainer has a lead rope, and then usually has a whip, and he trains the horse to prepare it to be ridden, because a horse needs to be broken, because if it's not broken, it rides the rider, and then it's going to throw you off, like bucking bronco. So you don't want your nafs to be a bucking bronco, because it'll throw you off, and you might get up, you're going to be bruised, but you might break your neck. People die. Or they're stomped by the horse themselves. So that becomes the metaphor, really, for controlling the self. And then afatul lisan, the dangers of the tongue, because the tongue brings, according to the hadith, which Imam Nawawi puts as a foundational hadith, the tongue will take people to the hellfire. Right? People enter, he said, they'll be dragged in the hellfire because hasaidu al-sinatihim, because of the harvest of their tongues. And people don't think about these things. They talk without thinking. The hadith says that somebody will say a word without giving it any consideration, and that very word will drag them in the hellfire for 70 years. And they don't, لا يلقي لها بالا. يتكلم بكلمة لا يلقي لها بالا. Doesn't give it any consideration. And yet that very word will drag them in the hell. So the afatul lisan are very important. There's a beautiful book that Imam Mawlud wrote, which is based partly on Imam al-Ghazali's, because everybody's influenced by him after him, which is called Maharam al-Lisan. And then you have dhamm al-ghadab wal-haqad wal-hasad, which anger, resentment, and envy. So he puts these together because they're all related. Because envy is a type of anger. You're angry that God gave somebody something he didn't give you. And resentment is a very, haqad is one of the worst qualities of vile human beings. And then dhamm ad-dunya, which is the blaming the dunya, censoring the dunya, really, because he sees hubb ad-dunya as a major problem. And then dhamm al-bukhl wa dhamm hubb al-mal, also censoring the love of wealth, and also withholding, like niggardliness or miserliness, somebody who's miserly. And then dhammul jah wa riya. Dhammul jah wa riya is the Prophet ﷺ, he said that wealth and jah and stash, al-mal wal jah, he said that they were not less harmful to the religion of a human being than two hungry wolves in the midst of shepherdless sheep. Jah is your position in the world. is one of the things that Imam al-Ghazali gave up. And so, and then he has Dhamm al-Kibr wal-Ujab, which is censoring or really exposing pride and vanity, which are different. Kibr is in relation to other people. Vanity is in relation to yourself. You don't need another person to be vain. You can be vain just looking in the mirror. But you need another person to be mutakabbir, which is to be arrogant.